The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Turn with me now to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to get into a familiar passage of scripture, but we're going to open this thing up. We want to illuminate it just a little bit more to make it applicable to the things that we are dealing with in these days and time. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to read from the 10th through the 14th verse. Jeremiah 29 verses 10 through 14. Amen, amen, amen. Once again, I want to encourage you to keep your Bible open or your app or whatever the case may be to follow along in the text. You might also want to have something with you in order to capture or take the notes, just in case something is said that pricks your heart or maybe captures your mind. As a matter of fact, I not only want you to take the note down for yourself, but let us know. Amen. Let us know. Talk back to me. Amen. Come on, somebody. Talk back to me. Give me a reaction. Give me an amen. Give me something to let us know that we are in the house and we are standing on the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 29, 10 through the 14th verses. This morning I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. The Message translation says, this is God's word on the subject. Soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I had it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. And in the Message translation, it adds this phrase, God's decree. It says, I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you. Again, it adds, God's decree. Bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. Watch this. You can count on it. My God. So on this third day, May 2020, yes, still under a stay-at-home or a stay-safe order, doing our best, continue the effort, trying to prevent or at least slow spread of this deadly coronavirus with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. We want to consider this as our subject, and listen, I'm going to grab it right from the scripture. Subject today is God's decree. God's decree. Now let's get ready to pray that prayer together that we pray. It's a unified prayer. It's a prayer for us to be and to get on one accord. Repeat after me, Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me. That is for me, in Jesus' name. And together we say, amen. God's decree. Let me just, for your hearing, allow me to read that passage again, and you can just listen to it, just allow it to seep into your spirit as you get ready to receive this word. It says, this is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. Verse 13 and 14 says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and wanting more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree. I'll turn things around for you or bring you back from all the countries which I drove you. God's decree. Bring you home to the place from which I sent you off in exile. You can count on me. Listen, my brothers, my sisters, and my friends, I realize that it goes without saying that the coronavirus now not only dominates the news, but it is also consuming our thoughts. For the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting more than physical health. It's impacting mental health as well. Recent studies have indicated that nearly half, that's roughly 45% of Americans, report that their mental health has been negatively affected by the stress over the virus. Come on, somebody. There is no doubt that all of us are feeling strained from the uncertainty that the pandemic has brought and the new restrictions placed on our lives. Even now, with states starting to flatten the curve, if you will, on the infection rates, many people, to include, if not all of you, are looking ahead now to bigger questions like, including, how will these shutdowns ever end? Asking questions about whether the disease will actually reemerge and when the scientists will be able to officially declare that COVID-19 is no longer a public health emergency. Some of you are asking, will there be a second wave in the fall? Who should I believe about the pandemic? Am I going to get sick even with all the measures I'm taking? Will the vaccine ever be developed? What will happen if a vaccine is ever, not ever developed? Come on, somebody. Are we really running out of meat and resources? When will we be able to worship again collectively in our churches? Young people are wondering if they'll even be able to get back into the classrooms. Believe it or not, they want to now get back into the classrooms come the fall, but it's possible that may not happen this calendar year. The list goes on and on and on and on. Some of you are furloughed and wondering if you're ever going to be able to go back to your job. Some of you have lost your jobs and wondering if there's ever going to be any jobs available for you. Some of you are still trying to get your unemployment, still waiting on the stimulus check. Where is the help that the government and people have promised me? Well, I understand. While the White House has issued its guidelines for opening up America again, they're actually allowing local legislators and state officials to develop their own plans, thus placing the burden of testing, contact tracing, and keeping hospitals equipped on the state's shoulders and responsibility. Said before that one of the questions that people are asking these days is, who should I believe about the pandemic? Is it the White House, the doctors, the scientists, the news, the state officials, social media, etc., etc.? And while, don't get me wrong, I'm not here to be negative about any of those resources, because it just very well may be that we can gather and gain some very important information and stipulations that we can glean from all of those resources. But my brothers and my sisters, while we might be asking that question, the question that we all really need to be asking is, what's God's word on the subject? Lord, help me to stand tall. In other words, what has God decreed? First of all, let's define decree. Come on, somebody. Well, a decree is an official order issued by a legal authority. I just said something right there. So if God is the one making the decree, I would declare, and it says by definition, that is an order, that is an official order issued by someone with legal authority. Well, for the Almighty God, come on somebody, who has all power and absolute authority, his decrees are his eternal, unchangeable, holy, wise, and sovereign purpose. See, the decrees of God are declarations or pronouncements, watch this, that he has made in working out his plan in various ages. The Bible says that God causes all things to work together for good. Romans 8:28. And we know, come on somebody, while there's some stuff that we don't know, you don't know about the pandemic, there's some stuff that we just need to know. Come on somebody. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, listen, listen. In this life, we are faced with one disappointment after the next. Find that in the face of our disappointments, it's coupled with heartbreak and pain. We look around and we wonder of all the time that we've spent, maybe time that we wasted or maybe even lost. How many years have gone by? For some of us just now, how many days, how many weeks? For some of us, we don't even know what day it is. What day is it? How much time has passed by? Am I any closer to my dreams and hopes than I was yesterday? When will all the things I've lost ever be restored? I'm talking to somebody. Time is precious and unchanging. Hear me. Money can be restored. Property can be restored. Broken down cars, stripped and painted, and old houses all can be restored. Even relationships can be restored. But the one thing that we can't reach back and alter or change is time. But regardless of our control of time, watch this. God said, I will restore you. Here in this passage of scripture, the prophet Jeremiah is warning the people of what is about to come teach in this house. He is warning them of the calamity that they are about to face. He's letting them know. He's saying, hey, hey, look at here, look at here. This is going to happen, so you might want to get ready. In other words, prophet Jeremiah is giving the people what we would call a heads up. Come on, somebody. Well, let's just be honest. How many of us have gotten that same type of warning or warnings from the Lord and didn't heed the warning? Huh? When trouble came, we cried out to God, asking him why this or that has come upon us. And when the Spirit is trying to say, I tried to warn you and you didn't listen. Tell somebody, thank God for grace and mercy. Good God, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that this is a familiar passage of scripture, but there are a few points that I want to raise from this passage that the Holy Spirit has led me to sow some seeds into your mind and convict your heart right now. First thing that I want to speak into your heart, mind, and spirit regarding God's decree to restore you, to restore me, to restore us. First point I want to make is, in order for that to happen, watch this, take this down, there has to first be an interruption. Can I teach in this house? I say it again. I said that if you want to, God's decree is to is to restore you, to restore me, to restore us. But there first has to be an interruption. What are you saying, Pastor King? Watch the text. You see, children of Israel found themselves heading back into captivity after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness from being delivered from Egypt. The thing is, when they were wandering around, they still didn't learn. They were still a stiff-necked, ungrateful, and disobedient people. Things had, watch this, things had settled down, and they felt that they were living the dream, doing whatever they felt like doing, that they felt like they were big and grown and bad enough to do. See, in their minds, there was no need to consider the consequences of any of their actions. Why? Because God will forgive us, teach Holy Ghost. I mean, he might fuss a little bit. He might say that we're not living or acting right. But we've been doing what we've been doing for this long. We've been living like we've been living for this long, and nothing has seemed to happen. In other words, sometimes we think that just because we've gotten by, that means we've gotten away. Huh? Does that sound like anybody you know? They test and they try the hand of God because he has been merciful. Say, thank you, Jesus. They take his patience, a weakness, and take his silence as if he is unaware. They push and they push until he one day decides to stop or to change what they are currently doing or what they have been doing. Does that sound familiar to anybody? See, that smooth and easy street that you were on once before and now has become rocky. See, every now and then, God has to interrupt what you're doing and where you're going. He has to make some changes in the direction completely. There's an interruption in your life. I can give somebody an example. This is going to be a real life example for somebody. Watch this. It's like talking on your cell phone and you forgot you didn't pay your bill. Jesus, come on somebody. Huh? I mean, you are right in the middle of a good, juicy conversation and your phone goes dead. Now you think you got low sale. No, you didn't pay your bill. And so, the cellular network is the only and your ability to communicate with anyone. You can't talk to anybody, watch this, other than the carrier, because now everything is out of your control. You soon realize that your services have been interrupted. My brothers, my sisters, and my friends, when interruptions come into our lives that weren't expected to be there or that we didn't plan for, those types of things can really get our attention, teach Holy Ghost. They give us cause to pay a very close attention to what we should have been paying attention to. Again, as they were headed back into bondage, but this time in Babylon. Text says that they were facing 70 years sake. Or a 70-year interruption. Why? Because they failed to heed the warning from the Lord. But I have good news. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God because that's even, when there's even an interruption, God still says he'll restore us. Second thing I want to speak into your heart and mind and your spirit regarding God's decree to restore you, to restore me, and to restore us. First thing we talked about is the fact that there has to be an interruption. Well, if God is going to restore you, the second thing that must happen is you must seek him with invigoration. First thing is an interruption. The second thing is you have to seek him with invigoration. Invigorate. It's to give strength or energy to something. You have some activity or life in what you're doing. Come on, somebody. God said that when I come to see about you after 70 years. In essence, he said, you're going to be so thrilled to see me. Good God Almighty. How many of y'all looking to run back to church? I'm the same old folk who, when they sat in church, barely clapped their hands. Now they said, I can't wait. I cannot wait. Huh? He said, when I come to hear about you after 7 years, you're going to be thrilled to see me. And not only that, you're going to do it, and you're going to have so much more life. He says, yes, when you get serious about finding me and wanting more than anything else. Tell your neighbor, tell somebody online, tell them sometimes you don't know God is all you need until God is all you have. He said, when you get serious about finding me and wanting more than anything else, he said, you will call on me. I will answer you. He said, you will seek me or you will look for me. You will find me, but only after you search for me with all your heart. In other words, when you put all you have into wanting to be in my presence, you don't think some folk are in that position right now? When you pour out every drip, every drop of pride, disobedience, strife, hatred, malice, and seek me with vigor. When you're no longer satisfied with the mundane and the status quo, and use every ounce of energy that you have to now find me. He says, when you do that, you will find me. Listen, I just believe the Spirit has sent me here to tell somebody that God is seeking for a people that will not be satisfied until they are in his presence. People that will live and breathe just to be at his feet. People that will earnestly search for him when he seems distant or far away. Looking for those people, gotta ask, are you one of those people? Are you one that finds it invigorating to seek the Lord? Or is it just the same old, same old? He wants you to be his child. And he wants us to be his people. He wants to be your God. But remember, we serve a jealous God. He didn't want anything before him. He wants to be our God, and he wants us to be his people, but we have to put our hearts into it. We can no longer afford to be lazy. Let me ask you, if your restoration was based on how much heart and energy you put into praying and seeking God, would you ever be restored? He wants to restore you. As a matter of fact, he said that he will restore you. That's his decree. Finally, last thing that I want to speak to your heart, mind, and spirit regarding God's decree to restore you, to restore me, and to restore us is that if God is going to restore you, last point is there has to be an intervention. There has to be, or there will be, an intervention. Listen, television on cable channel called A&E. I don't know if the series is on right now, but it once had a TV series called Intervention. The focus of the show was around individuals that were dealing with some sort of addiction or something that had them bound. These individuals believed that they were being filmed for a documentary on their problem, when in fact it was being documented in the hopes of an intervention from family and or friends. What typically happened was that they were given an ultimatum. Watch this. The ultimatum was, you can go into rehab or you can lose contact with your family, your friends, your income, and any other privileges. And in the show, they will have to make the decision if they would accept or deny the ultimatum. I am talking to somebody right now. Those families, listen, the families wanted them to be restored. Listen, children of Israel were in bondage in Babylon. They were in captivity and confined by the boundaries of Babylon. But God promised that he would restore. As a matter of fact, he says to them in the scripture, he says, I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you. God's decree, bring you home to the place from which I sent you off in exile. You can count on it. Know about you, but as much bad news that comes across the internet, the news feeds, and on television, that's good news for us today. Amen. What's the good news? Here it is. That God is going to place himself, good God Almighty, between you and your afflictions. He's going to change the course of the situation that you thought that there was no end to. He will rebuild, he will recover, reestablish, revive, replace, repair, renew, and reinstate everything that the enemy thought that he had destroyed. Teach, Holy Ghost. God is going to bring you to the place that he has promised you. As a matter of fact, he said, he knows the plans. See, we love that verse, but you got to know what's hooked to it. Come on, somebody. Come on. The Bible says he knows the plans that he has for you. And can I tell you something? Destruction wasn't one of them. Good God Almighty. I said, he knows the plans. And if you read the text, I don't know about you, but in my Bible, destruction wasn't one of them. My fact, text says his plans are to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. And when you call on me, when you come and pray for me, he says, I'll listen. You see, God knows each and every one of us personally. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our vulnerabilities. He knows what we need, when we need it, even before we know it ourselves. So my brothers and my sisters and my friends, as I get ready to close, listen, I want you to know that there is not one test, one trial, one temptation, or tribulation that you will ever face, that you will ever have to go through alone. No, not one. Not yesterday, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Our enemy, the devil, wants us to think that the trials and tests that we face, that we are facing right now, he wants us to believe that we are facing them alone, and that simply is not true. And this has nothing to do with whether or not you're in the house alone by yourself. There are some people who can be in a crowded room and still feel like that they are alone or have feelings of loneliness. God has said, no, that's not true. That's not true. And even if you feel like that I'm distant from you, God's saying that to you. He's saying, no, I'm here. That's the devil wanting you to think that. Listen, we all know that Satan will use any and every situation to test our faith. He tries to get us to abandon the promises of God. He will use the test in every way imaginable to get us to doubt God's love and his faithfulness towards us. Speak into somebody's heart right now. And I'm being honest. Sometimes those tests, this test, can be really, really tough. Yes, I'm talking about even the one that we're all facing right now, that the world is facing right now. But here's the deal. While we know that some seasons in our lives will be more trying than others, and it will be hard to find joy in those seasons, our Heavenly Father wants to reassure us by having us to revisit this familiar passage of Scripture here in Jeremiah 29:10-14. But he wants us to look at it now with a fresh perspective to hear his decree that we are never alone to deal with our tests in this life. So if we believe this to be true, even in the midst of our trying hard times currently, which admittedly, let's be honest, we are struggling to find joy and peace, then we have to really ask ourselves this question, and we got to be honest. Am I going to trust God and take him at his word or not? Listen, the Lord gave me this message to encourage and to remind you and myself, really all of us, that God loves us more than we realize. Whenever we think that we're alone, whenever we feel the enemy has gotten the best of us, God says, no, no, ma'am, no, sir. So we're going through these tests, these trials, these tribulations. We must truly believe God is with us, and that indeed we're going through it. Listen, I've come to let you know, if not for myself, we're not camping here. Mm-mm. We're not saying here, we're going through it. And when we go through something, that means we're going to come out on the other side. You remember what David said in that favorite song that we love to quote? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In other words, he was able to say that because he understood that those shadows were not permanent. He was walking through, not camping out, not residing there. Listen, we're always going to have to go through some things. That's just this life. So you need to get that settled in your hearts and your minds right now. Even Jesus himself essentially said the same thing. When you have time, read the entire chapter of John chapter 14. The enemy doesn't stop, and even if we stop him in one area, he's going to find another area to attack. The enemy always is going to come at us, but we must remember this. God is always with us. You can count on it. God. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.